live, on air, online, and on the Highland Radio app. This is Highland Radio News.
It's 5 o'clock. This is the evening news on Highland Radio with Donal Kavanagh. In this bulletin, a Letterkenny councillor says the traffic disruption experienced in Letterkenny today is further proof that the long-discussed Bonagie link is very necessary and should be fast-tracked. The Irish Red Cross says it hasn't been able to get in touch with around half the people who have pledged to take in Ukrainian refugees. Of those they have been in touch with, around 80% say they wish to continue. It's hoped funding for a folk castle will help promote tourism in East Donegal. And employers who don't accept their workers' requests for remote working could find themselves before the Workplace Relations Commission. Later in the bulletin at around 5:15, Kenny is here with the sports news. And as it's a Thursday, we'll have farming news and views with Chris Ashmore. That's coming up directly after the sport at around about 5:20. But we begin with the traffic disruption in Letterkenny today. And a councillor says the disruption shows that the long-discussed Bonagie link is very necessary and should be fast-tracked. The Ballyrain and Remilton Road areas in particular experienced significant delays because resurfacing work has seen the N56 four-lane road reduced to one lane outbound between the Polestar and Dry Arch roundabouts. The work is set to continue until tomorrow week, April 29th. Councillor Jerry McMonagle says if there were to be an emergency, access into and out of the town could be a major issue.
I was actually caught in the traffic jams this morning myself. While none of us wish to be caught in traffic jams, the four lane is a necessary piece of infrastructure work. But my concern is for the emergency services over the next 9 or 10 days. In how they access or exit the town, getting called to emergencies or bringing in patients back into town to the hospital. So, look, we've been saying for years in relation to the Bonagie Link. I know it's tied in with the TNT project now, but I still think that we need an alternative route to speed up traffic and make it more accessible as the town grows. And invariably, it will continue to grow over this next number of years. So four lane is a temporary problem at the minute, but we still need that Bonagie link, and I would like to see it fast tracked.
And that was Councillor Jerry McMonagle. The Irish Red Cross says it hasn't been able to get in touch with around half of the people who have pledged to take in a Ukrainian refugee. Emergency accommodation in the Mill Street Arena in County Cork opened its doors to 70 people last night. It's expected to be full by the end of the week. Ministers say other large-scale accommodation centres will likely be set up. Liam O'Dwyer from the Irish Red Cross says of the people they have been able to reach, the response has been mostly positive.
So we got 8,755 responses. Now, of those, the vast bulk of them, over just nearly 80% of those were positive to say, yeah, look, we're still in, which is great news. And then 2,042 people came back to say, look, we've changed our minds, so we're going to withdraw. That's about 22%.
3,035 new cases of COVID-19 have been reported this afternoon. Of those, 1,426 were confirmed through positive PCR tests, while yesterday 1,609 people registered positive antigen tests through the HSE portal. As of 8 o'clock this morning, there were 654 COVID-19 patients in hospital, 37 of them in ICU. Latest figures for Letterkenny University Hospital show 24 infected patients there, two of them in intensive care. A man who sustained head injuries in an assault in Sligo has died. The man, who was aged in his late 30s, was attacked on Rockwood Parade in the town on Tuesday evening. He was initially treated at Sligo Hospital, but was then transferred to Beaumont Hospital in Dublin, where he was later pronounced dead. A post-mortem examination has been carried out today. Gardaí say the results of that PM will determine the course of their investigation. The scene of the attack has been preserved and forensically examined. Gardaí are appealing to any witnesses to come forward. Ireland's forestry management company is hoping to create 100,000 new hectares of woodland across the country by 2050. Semi-state body Caolte has launched a strategic vision for the future. It's hoped to capture 28 million tonnes of CO2 emissions over that period. It's also intended to create 1,200 jobs, build more wind farms, increase timber production for homes and offer additional recreational opportunities. Forestry Managing Director Mark Carlin says the recruitment drive will be a challenge.
But this is a good problem. We're going to create new green tech jobs, which is critical for just transition to a zero carbon economy. And we're going to be creating jobs right across the estate, from traditional forestry jobs in terms of creating new forests and redesigning existing forests, through to our recreation offerings, constructing those trails and actually operating them. And then with Future Energy Ireland as well, building out the wind farms of the future that we need.
It's hoped that funding announced this week for a Faux Castle will help promote tourism across East Donegal. Almost €30,000 was awarded this week to the Faux Community in Action Group for a conservation report on the Bishop's Palace. It's in exceptionally good condition, one of the few remaining castles in the country that is in such good condition. And the chairperson of Faux Community Action, Mary Hart, says the first priority will be to ensure that it's preserved.
What we would like to see, and there are a lot of stakeholders in this, you know, there would be, you know, the community, there will be the various heritage bodies, there will be the, you know, the tourism bodies, and, you know, the archaeologists around Ireland who would be looking at the various castles. This is a great opportunity, and it would be a shame if it were not to move forward to secure the building, which is basically the hope that that's what will happen, that it will be protected, that it will be made safe, and that you know, that the government and others, obviously the government may not put up the 100%, which is highly unlikely. So, you know, we will start looking to see then where and how we can find funding from other quarters to do that. It's just going to add to, you know, the whole East Donegal, you know, the tourism element of East Donegal. And since social media has been invented, there's an awful lot of people doing drone shots of the castle, and then that has prompted people saying, oh, why do we not get into this castle? And it opens a whole new argument, which, to be honest, you know, there's lots and lots of wonderful monuments in Ireland, and they're not all, you know, open to the public. So what we would like, that there is a point at which people can appreciate this, and that it would be saved for future generations. You know, that's the importance. It's an important landmark in East Donegal, but yeah, also in Donegal itself.
And that was Mary Hart there speaking on today's 9 till noon show. Employers who don't accept their workers' request for remote working could find themselves before the Workplace Relations Commission. Experts in human relations and employment law have been raising concerns over the new work-life balance bill, which was approved by Cabinet last night. Maria Clary has been looking at the potential implications.
The work-life balance bill has three main aims: to give parents or carers of kids under 12 the legal right to request flexible working, to allow them 5 days unpaid leave to care for a sick family member, and to extend paid breastfeeding breaks. While it sounds good on paper, employment law solicitor Richard Grogan says it won't work for many SMEs.
If you take a coffee shop, for example, it's going to be from around 7:30 to 10 o'clock. That's their big time. If somebody's coming in at 10 o'clock, they've got to get somebody to cover that period of time.
Parents will only be able to take days if their child needs significant care, meaning an employee may have to share their kid's medical information with their boss. HR expert Caroline Reedy says data like this needs to be handled sensitively.
In relation to holding the data, I wouldn't be advising that it is held, and ultimately trust is going to be huge in this as well.
Minister Roger O'Gorman presented the bill to Cabinet last night and says it's a step in the right direction.
I think we've seen with COVID that where workers are given flexibility, and it can actually increase productivity.
The new bill aims to bring Ireland in line with the EU Work-Life Balance Directive.
Donegal, ETB and Uthras na Gaeltachta have signed a 5-year memorandum of understanding. It's set to build on a history of collaboration and an established partnership between the two organisations. With more detail, here's Michaela Clark.
The aims of the partnership are consistent with the strategic plans and strategic statements of both organisations. These include working together to provide opportunities for training and education through the GTEC network and the network of Donegal ETB, FET centres, promoting and supporting economic development and job creation. It also includes working collaboratively on projects of mutual interest, which will benefit the community in Donegal, promoting and facilitating opportunities for community education at local level, encouraging and empowering communities and individuals, and providing them with the knowledge and skills to benefit from the county's natural resources, and working with the Gaeltacht companies to ensure that the workforce has the necessary skills to sustain and grow, and working together to provide the Gaeltacht community community with apprenticeships. A strategic planning group will be established and will meet quarterly to discuss the operation and strategic development of the partnership over the next 5 years.
Irish Water is set to carry out pipe replacement works in the Fanahan's area of Inver in the coming days. 300 metres of old water mains are to be replaced with new modern pipes, which Irish Water says will reduce the number of bursts and water outages in the area. With more, here's Trish Laverty.
The works will also involve laying new water service connections from the public water main in the road to the front of the customer's property boundaries and connecting it to the customer's water supply to minimise the impact on customers. Areas of work will be limited to short sections. To facilitate the safe delivery of these works, temporary traffic management will be in place along the N56. However, local and emergency access will be maintained. The works may involve some short-term supply interruptions, which Irish Water understands may cause inconvenience. The project team will ensure that customers are given a minimum of 48 hours notice prior to any planned water interruptions. Irish Water and Donegal County Council regret any inconvenience these improvement works may cause. The works will be carried out on behalf of Irish Water by Farron's Construction and are expected to be completed in May.
The PRO of the MICA Action Group says it's no surprise that the MICA redress scheme is set to be extended to other parts of the country. Donegal has been deemed the epicentre of the crisis. However, the Irish Times quotes an unpublished report from the expert group investigating MICA that says engineers are reporting similar issues in a number of other counties. PRO Michael Doherty says there's an onus on TDs nationwide to rally behind the issue to get the best possible scheme over the line.
Really, the message here needs to be other TDs in other counties that thought they were immune from all this need to wake up and smell the coffee, need to get the shoulder to the wheel and get the best possible scheme we can over the line, because this is not just a scheme for Donegal, this is a scheme for every affected county, and by the time we're finished we just don't know where that ends. So now is the time to make their presence felt and not just ignore Donegal, who have done all the heavy lifting so far, I might add. But it's time they put the shoulder to the wheel and help us out and get the best possible scheme that's going to benefit every county from defective concrete blocks. And that's the situation we're in at the minute.
Do you think that this information contained in this unpublished report may impact the rollout of the scheme here in Donegal, or what do you foresee happening?
I don't think it'll affect the rollout in Donegal. I don't think it will. I think that we're too far down that road now. The fact that we've got a scheme already in place, there are only two counties eligible to access that scheme, that's Donegal and Mayo. So I don't see that happening. But what I can see is the fact that whatever we have as a scheme, be it good, bad or middling, will be the same scheme that every other county is going to be availing of. And there are still shortfalls, you know, let there be no doubt on that. If there were no shortfalls, we wouldn't be still campaigning. But the point is that they need to help us here. They can't leave it all to Donegal to sort this out in isolation and then expect to benefit from an excellent scheme at the end of it. They need to make their presence felt, and that's not something we've enjoyed to date.
Highland Sport is brought to you by Michael Murphy Sports and Leisure, Letterkenny. Cross the finish line in style with trainers from michaelmurphysports.ie.
It's 16 minutes past five. Good evening, Kenny Harkin.
Thanks, Donal. Good evening. Starting with Gaelic games, and Donegal supporters are urged to get their tickets in advance of Sunday's Ulster Championship quarter-final between Donegal and Armagh. The game's expected to be a sellout come the game day. Only terrace tickets remain, and they can be purchased on donegalgaa.ie. Donegal manager Declan Boner says the home support will have a big part to play.
Two teams is probably going to go at it next Sunday, no doubt about that there, and it's going to be a real, as I say, championship affair. You know, we know what Armagh are going to bring. They're going to bring a lot of intensity, they're going to bring an edge, and they're going to bring huge support in the McCool Park. So we've got to make sure that, you know, that we use McCool Park and that we do get a huge Donegal support in there next Sunday, backing the team and supporting the team, because it's going to take that to get us over the line of the game.
Meanwhile, at semi-final night in the Airgrid Leinster Under-20 Football Championship, Kildare make the trip to Tullamore to play reigning All-Ireland champions Offaly. That's at a 6:30. While there's a 7:30 start between the meeting of Dublin and Meath at Parnell Park. In hurling, the All-Ireland Under-20B Championship tonight, Derry are on the travels. They're away to Down at Uppinmurry. That game starts at 8 o'clock. Moving on to soccer, Manchester United appointed Ajax boss Erik ten Hag as their new manager this morning on a contract until June 2025. The Dutchman, who is said to have impressed board members with his long-term vision for returning the club to the top of the Premier League, will take over at the end of the season. Manchester City boss Pep Guardiola praised ten Hag's record and even tipped him to possibly take his job at some point.
He's an incredible person, human being. I was surprised how humble and good. And after about the quality skills, just take a look, his Ajax in the last years. And I think he could be one of the ones, yeah, for the way, you know, he approached the game.
The home of Manchester United captain Harry Maguire has been swept by police after the England defender received a bomb threat. Cheshire police say no evacuations took place, but a police explosive dog has attended the address. Meanwhile, on the pitch, relegation fight in Burnley, they host Southampton in the Premier League this evening at 7:45. A win for the Clarets would see them go to just a point from safety. And Burnley chairman Alan Pace says the club is in the process of recruiting a new manager. Writing in the club's programme ahead of tonight's league clash with Southampton, Pace said the decision to sack Sean Dyche was necessary. Back at home, Airtricity under 19 action tonight. Fun Harps, they host Derry City in a North West derby. That one's in the Letterkenny Community Centre. Kickoff is at 8:30. In rugby, Munster will be without their captain Peter O'Mahony and Simon Zeebo and Niall Scannell for tomorrow's trip to Belfast to play Ulster in the URC. There's seven changes in all to the side that beat Exeter Chiefs, with Craig Casey and Shane Daly coming into the back line. And there's a new front row of Jeremy Lockman, Dermot Barron and Stephen Archer. Ulster, they have handed a start to Stuart Moore at fullback, while Matty Ray and Jordy Murphy will come into the side at blindside and open side flankers, with Nick Tominey switching to number 8. In golf on the PGA Tour this week, it's the Zurich Classic of New Orleans. It's a pairs event this week. Shane Lowry's paired with Ian Poulter. They're at 5 under par through 10 holes. Seamus Power and Graham McDowell, they tee off later on this evening. Leading the way early on, it's Victor Hovland and Colin Morikawa. They're 7 under par through their first 11 holes. On the European Tour, Cormac Sharvin's 2 over after his opening round at the ISPS Handa Championship in Spain. Scotland's David Law leads by 1 on 5 under par. Niall Kearney's level through 3, while Jonathan Caldwell's 1 over. That's after playing 6 holes today. And Leona Maguire's level par after her first hole of the first round of the LA Open on the LPGA Tour. That leaves her 2 shots off the lead. Stephanie Meadow tees off just before 8:30. In snooker, 3-time champion Mark Williams leads Jackson Page by 7 frames to 1 in their best of 25 match in the second round of the World Snooker Championship. Elsewhere, Nopon Sang Kam defeated Luca Brasil by 10 frames to 5 in their first round encounter today. And in Formula One news, Carlos Sainz has signed a new 2-year contract extension with Ferrari. The deal will keep the Spanish Formula One driver with the team until the end of 2024. And finally, just to tell you what's on the score this week, it's coming up after the 7 o'clock news this evening. Oisin Kelly is joined by former Fun Harps manager and player Anthony Gorman for the League of Ireland chat. There's a preview of the big Donegal Armagh Ulster Championship clash with Barry O'Hagan, the Armagh man living in Donegal, and Highlands and analyst Martin McHugh. And it's a big weekend for Letterkenny Rugby Club ahead of the Gordon West Cup final. We'll hear the news from the club's coaching team, Paul O'Kane and Ali Ferguson. That's the score tonight after the 7 o'clock news. Back to Donal.
Thank you very much indeed, Kenny. It's a Thursday evening. It's 21 minutes past 5. That means it's time for Farming News and Views with Chris Ashmore.
Highlands Farming News and Views is brought to you in association with Lifford Credit Union, who have recently launched Cultivate, an agricultural loan at only 6.55%, APR 6.75%. Call in to any of their 3 offices for more information or to make an appointment. Lifford Credit Union. Rafo Newton Lifford, supporting local farmers.
Hello, good evening, and welcome to this week's edition of Farming News and Views here on Highland Radio. I'm Chris Ashmore. Well, the IFA has appointed a new regional executive for Donegal and Monaghan. He's Ethan Carville from Emmy Vale. I caught up with him earlier today to talk to him about his new post. Firstly, congratulations on your appointment, and no doubt you're delighted to be getting involved.
Yeah, no, thanks, Chris. It's great to be appointed there, and I'll finally get started. Thanks for having me on your show. it's exciting times to be involved in the IFA.
Now, let's just get a little bit about your background. You've been very much involved on the poultry side of things over the years.
Yeah, so look, at poultry's a massive industry in Monaghan and Cavan. I'm from Monaghan myself there, so look, I took over the family farm 6 years ago and involved heavily in the poultry. I suppose my father and brother still doing beef and sheep at home, so yeah, we're still heavily involved in it now, so that'll be a bit of my background.
Yeah, so poultry, beef, sheep, I mean, that's a fair crossover.
Yeah, well, I suppose it's like a lot of farms in County Monaghan, I suppose. You can appreciate that that's what does be happening. It's big business around the local area, so listen, it's good to be part of it, you know, so.
So you'll be doing a fair bit of travelling, taking in Donegal and Monaghan as a regional executive for the IFA. I suppose around 30 IFA branches in Donegal. There's numerous meetings to go to, and over the last few years we've seen Zoom meetings and hybrid meetings, and I suppose as we go forward there'll probably continue to be that mixture of online and in-person meetings.
Yeah, Chris, you're right there. The hybrid meetings have worked well, I suppose, through COVID and that. Look at that. Yeah, I'll be busy. I'll be getting around, hopefully, most of the branches there around Donegal. Donegal's a big county. So, look at that. I hope you get around them all. And yeah, especially the hybrid sort of helps out a lot of people in Donegal there, you know, that can't attend meetings. But listen, it's good to have the option of both there. So, yeah, I'll be travelling between Donegal and Monaghan, so it should be okay, you know, covering the two counties.
Now, you've met several members of the county executive here in Donegal at the meeting last week. Brendan McLaughlin, no doubt, outlining some of the things in store, and you've received great support, including John O'Hanlon, who has been standing in recent weeks whilst the post has been vacant.
John's put in a massive shift there, you know, it's a credit to him. You know, he took on a lot of work there and covering a large chunk of the areas himself, really. So, no, look at them. He's been a good mentor there since I've come in there this week. And then they've a great chair and Brendan McLaughlin there as well. So, listen, yeah, I met a lot of people I was at the county executive last week in Letterkenny, and, you know, I got a great reception, to be fair now. I must commend the people of Donegal and met a lot of faces. So, it's good. It's good to get involved.
And no doubt you know Frank Brady, the Ulster North Leinster regional chairman, pretty well.
Yeah, no, listen, I met Frank last week too, and down the road together. And yeah, he seems to be a very knowledgeable man. And yeah, he's coming in off, he's newly elected there in the region. So no, Frank's a good man now, and he's good to have in the IFA.
And one of the, I suppose, the key roles of your job is, you know, assisting farmers with various issues and problems. And there is the office here in Donegal, and no doubt you'll be liaising with the people in the office and farmers to try and go forward with any issues that they have.
Yeah, no, look, I was down in Donegal yesterday and met Denise. Yeah, special mention to her too. I know she's been dealing with a lot of work there herself. Lately, there was no one, the post was vacant as you discussed there, and you know, listen, if I'll be in the office, and if any farmers and members need to ring into the office, you know, I'm here to help. And you know, Denise has put in a great shift as well there, so special mention to her too. So
never a dull moment in farming, and you're coming in at a time of various challenges, not least, I suppose, the massive hike in the cost of inputs that's really affecting everybody's pocket.
Yes, listen, it's very topical at the minute. Input costs between fertilizer and concentrates, so diesel as well. Listen, every farmer is suffering the cost of inputs at the minute, but hopefully IFA can help with the solution, you know, to this.
And no doubt, you know, going forward, you're relishing this opportunity. It's a big move for yourself personally.
It is a great opportunity, you know, to be involved in the IFA. You know, they do a lot for their members, and I think maybe just I was overwhelmed with the amount of services they do provide to the members. And listen, I think it's great to be involved in the IFA at the minute, and it is a privilege to get the post.
And that was Ethan Carville, the new regional executive of the IFA for Donegal and Monaghan. Now, changing tack, a new Teagasc report warns of continuing financial concerns for farmers in its outlook for 2022. To find out more, I've been speaking with Amy Ford, Deputy News Editor of the Irish Farmers Journal, and I began by putting it to her that the picture painted isn't particularly positive.
No, Chris, I suppose we've known this is the state of things for a while. We know that input prices on farms, such as fertilizer, energy and feed, you know, they've skyrocketed in terms of price in recent months, and this really lays it bare then. So Teagasc has forecast that there'll be a sharp fall in family farm incomes. They've flagged it there as the unprecedented hike there in those input costs is wiping out any increases in commodity prices. So the high input costs are essentially wiping out the high output prices for beef, for milk, for sheep and for grain. It has warned of, as you said, continued financial concerns for Irish farmers over the coming months, and those high costs are going to continue to exert downward pressure on farm profits. This update of the situation and outlook for 2022 found that dry stock and tillage farmers are going to suffer the most severe income losses, and pig producers are obviously very badly affected, and there's obviously serious issues in that industry as well. They're saying that a continued surge in global dairy commodity markets is going to largely insulate dairy farmers from any major income losses, but the exception here will be any dairy farmers who have big volumes of milk tied into fixed milk price contracts. There is a sort of a silver lining, albeit small, but they're saying that the weather conditions could significantly alleviate or compound the impact of higher input costs on farm incomes. And I know we're all hoping for good weather over the coming weeks and months, and that could really help on the input side of things. Looking at a sector by sector basis, Chris, Teagasc is saying that the average Sutler farmer income is going to fall by 25% in 2022 as a result of those high input costs, while other beef enterprises such as those in Finishing are going to see income reductions of around 16%. On the sheep and tillage side, their incomes are forecast to fall around 20% there, but again, it's very early to predict how crops are going to perform later in the year, and that's all very weather dependent. On the tillage front again, if I can just go back to that, they're forecasting that the average income on tillage farms will be in the mid 30,000s, and the provisional income figure, just for context, for last year was 47. So not good news basically from Teagasc for farm incomes.
And that was Amy Ford, Deputy News Editor with the Irish Farmers Journal. In other news, farm building costs continue to soar. An Irish Farmers Journal analysis this week shows that the cost of building a typical three-bay slatted shed has soared by 52% compared with 2018. In 2018, the cost of building such a shed was around €38,000, including VAT. Today, an identical shed will set you back something in the region of €58,000. The cost of building materials for farm sheds continues to soar. Raw steel has increased from around €1,000 a tonne to €2,000 a tonne. And timber prices have shot up by about 50%. Meanwhile, the national cattle herd stood at 6.66 million head on the 1st of February. That's according to the latest Animal Identification and Movement report. This represents an increase of 140,545 head compared to February of 2021. The dairy herd continues to grow, while the suckler herd has reduced in the last 12 months. Well, that's it for this week's edition of Farming News and Views. As always, many thanks for listening. Until next week, from me, Chris Ashmore, goodbye.
Highlands Farming News and Views is brought to you in association with Lifford Credit Union, who have recently launched Cultivate, an agricultural loan at only 6.55%, APR 6.75%. Call in to any of their three offices for more information or to make an appointment. Lifford Credit Union. Rafo Newton Lifford, supporting local farmers.
Remaining dry and mostly sunny this evening, with highest temperatures of 13 degrees Celsius in a moderate to fresh east to southeast breeze. Tonight, dry with clear spells. Lowest temperatures 3 to 7 with light to moderate northeasterly winds. Tomorrow, again, dry with mix of cloud and hazy sunny spells. Breezy as a moderate to fresh east to northeast wind sets in during the day. Top temperatures tomorrow, again, 13 to 16. That's Highland Radio News. Main stories in brief. A Letterkenny councillor says the traffic disruption experienced in Letterkenny today is further proof that the long-discussed Bonaghy link is very necessary and should be fast-tracked. Traffic is reduced to one lane between the Polestar and Dry Arch roundabout outbound as a result of resurfacing on the N56 four-lane project. The Irish Red Cross says it hasn't been able to get in touch with around half of the people who have pledged to take in Ukrainian refugees. Of those they have been in touch with, around 80% say they wish to proceed. 3,035 new cases of COVID-19 have been reported this afternoon, 1,426 of them confirmed through positive PCR tests. And Caolte hopes to create 100,000 new hectares of woodlands and 1,200 new jobs across the country. Back with more news at 6 o'clock. Good evening. The obituary notices for this Thursday evening, the 21st of April. The death has taken place of Rebecca McClintock, Tullianan, Carrigans. Her remains will repose at her late residence from 6 o'clock this evening. Funeral from there on Saturday afternoon at 1:30 for 2 o'clock funeral service in Monrair Presbyterian Church, followed by burial in the family plot in the adjoining graveyard. Family Flowers Only, please, donations in lieu to the Donegal Hospice, care of Terence McClintock, Funeral Director. The death has taken place of Francis McGuinness, née Hegarty, late of Tara House, Greencastle Road, Moville, formerly of Pound Street, Cardonna. Removal from Collins Funeral Premises, Cooldaff, this evening at 6 o'clock, going to her home. Funeral from there on Saturday morning at 10:30, for 11 o'clock Requiem Mass in St Pius X Church, Moville, followed by burial in Ballybrack Graveyard. Funeral Mass can be viewed live on movilleparish.com. Family time, please, from 10 p.m. to 11 a.m. and on the morning of the funeral. Family Flowers Only, please, donations if desired to Buncrana Community Hospital Patients Comfort Fund, care of any family member. And the death has occurred of William James Jim Johnson, number 3, Raymochie Heights, Manor Cunningham. Jim is reposing at his late residence. Wake private, please, to family and close friends, and private on the morning of the funeral. Funeral service at his late residence tomorrow afternoon at 1:30, with burial afterwards in Gortley Cemetery, Letterkenny. Family Flowers Only, please, donations in lieu, if desired, to the Donegal Hospice, Letterkenny, care of any family member, or Kelly's Funeral Directors, RFO. For more details, including any family health guidelines for wakes and funerals, please go to highlandradio.com.